I don't feel as if you guys properly responded to my pup request for Drake. I don't see any new graphics out there. The old graphics. I put in the request. I don't understand why there hasn't been a proper adjustment to the roster.
Janice That's might be in on it too. I think Janice is tired of it. She's seen what's been going on, the way you've tried to shatter everyone else's little and Travis's, and put a false narrative out there. And Janice has had enough, and she's not going to do it.
There you go. There you go, Jorge.
See?
Keep everyone against him.
Look at the fans. Uh-oh.
Wait, what are you doing? Who's going to boo God's plan? Who's booing God's plan? You're not going to win that fight.
No, they're booing God in this case. They're booing the God behind God's kiss. It's the problem. They like the sausage. They don't like who makes it. That's what it comes down to, man.
You're just trying to make it worse for LZ now.
At one point, he has 7 singles in the top 10 at the same time. I ain't going to sit up here and let y'all try to pretend as if I picked a bum. He ain't no bum. Now, he is on the pup list, though.
Look, the same arguments you are making for Drake are the exact same arguments I'm making for Bowie for his career. Like, David Bowie has one of the all-time
Andy, don't mess it up. You in the lead. Just let it go, bro. See? Let it go. Let it go. Pay off your cheese, man. Pay off your cheese. Right.
Look at Andy. Andy's trying to snatch defeat from the jaws of victory.
Oh, my goodness. Wiley Coyote.
All right. Yeah, that's true. I am playing with that anvil right now. All right. We're going to get into the 103-101 win. Lakers over the Clippers. Restart of the season in Orlando. But I did want to touch on something Doc Rivers said yesterday. With regards to before both games, all players, all staff, everybody kneeling together during the anthem, you know, a statement being made. I wouldn't call it a protest, but it's definitely a statement. And Doc Rivers talked afterwards about literally what it means to be kneeling in that moment, is it spiritually, but also physically.
The hardest thing that happened to me in the game today was kneeling for 2 minutes. Like, my knee hurt. And in the middle of it, I'm thinking, in 2 minutes, my knee is hurting. Yet there was a guy that had his knee on someone's neck for 8 minutes. Think about that. The national anthem took 2 minutes. There were guys that needed towels and things to get under their knees. And yet, someone kneeled on another human being's neck for 8 minutes.
Puts a lot in perspective, Elsie. I mean, that's a really powerful way to frame it. And it really explains in a lot of ways what you are putting across in that act of kneeling.
Listen, every Wednesday for, I want to say about 2 months now, there have been elements of Black Lives Matter in front of the Hall of Justice talking about the record of our district attorney, Jackie Lacey, and why her performance since being elected, historic, by the way, first African-American woman to have this position here in the area. Since her election, they've been very disappointed with her handling of controversial cases regarding police shootings and cases people dying from these shootings. And I go, sometimes I write off of it. Sometimes I just hang in the back and just listen and just watch and observe. Because I think it's important that we, as people in the media, use our platform not to push an agenda, but to tell people what's happening out there, what's going on in the streets. My feelings on it are secondary. My primary role is to just inform. And so I'm telling you, every Wednesday, there has been a group, the numbers fluctuate, but they are out there committed to bringing attention as much as they can to a very important aspect of this conversation, which is having a layer of trust between citizens and law enforcement. And if there's an element that they don't trust, the entire thing is going to break down, which is what we have been witnessing for decades and decades, if not centuries and centuries, a lack of trust between communities and those who are charged with protecting and serving those communities. And that's why they go and they protest. So what Doc Rivers is talking about is very similar to what LeBron James was talking about, what the LA Sparks were talking about, what these athletes in general are all talking about, which is there is something foul that we've allowed to coexist here in this country. And it, because we've allowed it to exist in this country, exist with us in this country, we have undermined America's opportunities to fulfill her promise to every person.
Yeah,
every person.
The last thing
we're not protesting. They're not protesting good cops. They're not protesting a just system. They're not protesting an element of society they feel is equitable for everyone. They're not protesting that. They're protesting the injustice. They're protesting the corruption. And so Doc is reminding you of why they're doing it. LeBron is reminding you why they're doing it. Not so that they can get attention, so that there's attention placed on the actual problem that's been haunting us for so long.
Yeah, the last thing I would want to say in terms of what Doc brought up with the discomfort, like the literal physical discomfort that comes with kneeling for 2 minutes during an anthem, that duration of time, where he mentioned that some guys actually had towels beneath their knees, you know, to help with that discomfort, to give you some type of cushion. When you look at Derek Chauvin in that situation where he's kneeling on George Floyd's neck, like George Floyd's neck becomes the towel in that comparison. And that's grotesque. It's absolutely grotesque, and it's an outrage. And like you said, LZ, that's why it's happening in terms of before these games and the players looking to keep our focus and our attention there. And that's why it needs to happen. That's why it's necessary. Like, it's why it's important.
And I get it. Sports is supposed to be an escape. I get it, Andy. I get it. People don't want to be reminded of their problems and problems of the world. They tune in to ESPN or TNT, and they just want to unplug. And I get that. God knows I get it. But here's the problem. We've lost track of what's reality and what's the escape. We've lost track of that. We've become addicted to the distraction to the point in which we don't know if we're sober or high. That's where we are right now. Because if we'd known the difference, man, if we had known the difference, this issue wouldn't have been allowed to fester as long as it has. So it's been my belief and it's my perspective that when people start talking about sticking to sports and that they don't want their politics and sports mixed together, say, I don't want to deal with this issue, period.
Yeah.
That's what they're saying. Because it's not as if we've been dealing with this issue and we need to escape from it. No, we've been ignoring this issue. And when it's brought up, we want to keep ignoring this issue.
Well, it's not.
They're not saying I'm exhausted. They're saying I don't want to get involved.
And it's not like you don't eventually end up getting a game anyway. And, you know, there was an actual game that was played last
night.
Yes,
and it was a great game.
You get the actual sports. You get the back and forth between the Lakers and the Clippers. You get strong performance from Kyle Kuzma. You know, as we were talking about before, maybe his best all-around game of the season, the best he looked as a true basketball player. You have Anthony Davis dominating from the start of this game, then pulling the Lakers out from a deficit late in the third quarter, cutting a double-digit lead down to single digits to get him back in. And then you've got LeBron James, who spends the overwhelming majority of this game really struggling offensively, like way out of character struggles, but then coming through in the last few minutes in so many different ways on both sides of the ball, critical, smart plays that remind you why he's LeBron James, why, as you've been saying this whole week, LZ, he's the best player in the bubble.
Yeah, he's the best player in the bubble. No, he didn't shoot the ball well. No, he didn't. Some of the turnovers were problematic for sure. He looked a little rusty. He definitely looked a little rusty. But when it mattered, man, when it mattered, he's come through. He has come through. And, you know, I don't know how someone who attacks the basket as much as he does, or as much as he did last night, only makes one trip to a free throw line. That's, you know, that's, I don't know how that happens, but it did. But without question, when there was 1 minute to go in a game that was really critical, he came through, man. And that's what you expect. This is a man. Think about this for a second, Andy. This is a man who's been to the finals 9 times, who's won multiple championships, who is in the top 10 in points as well as assists. And his best play in the NBA finals is a block. His most iconic moment is a block. Like, if you think about that, that's what we're talking about. Someone who is an offensive juggernaut. And if you're in the top 10 in points and assists, you are an offensive juggernaut. And you're so good that your best play in your 9 trips to the finals, winning 3 times, winning MVP 3 times, almost a fourth on a losing effort because you were so damn good. And your best play may be a block. That's how amazing he is as a player and as an athlete. So when our good friend Kurt came on and started talking about Kawhi, I just took offense, man. I took offense. I took offense because I'm like, I think what you having is recency bias or maybe amnesia. But I'm clear. I am clear. When LeBron James is no longer that dude, trust me, I will say LeBron James is no longer that dude. When I tell you he's still that dude, he's still that dude. He is still that dude right now.
Yeah, he is and still capable.
You might get exhausted from it, but it just is what it is. Just like MJ was that dude, Mike was still that dude. Even when you were tired, he was still that dude. Guess what? LeBron is still that dude, even though you might be tired of hearing and saying it.
Yeah, at the end of the day, you see him making a play where he switches off Kawhi Leonard to guard Paul George when the game matters the most. Again, reminder, he's still that dude. Michael Thompson, still that dude as well. He's going to be joining us next. Well, Father Knows Best.
Andy, I'm not here for your Drake slander.
The rest of the world is.
Because I know you're dancing right now. You can't fight
it. Again, everyone likes the sausage. They just don't like who makes it. That's what it is. I'm not going to deny. I was dancing a little bit. But that doesn't mean that I don't understand who Drake is. And why a lot of people just don't like him. It's the truth. Drake leans into it. He knows.
Woo!
But we are joined now. The great Michael Thompson.
Woo, woo,
woo, woo. Michael, woo, how woo. Are you?
Michael.
What's up, boys? I'm doing well. How about you guys? You doing okay?
Good. I have a quick question for you, Michael. Do you hate Drake?
No, I don't hate him. He's annoying. He's a big fan. He supports his team. You know, he's kind of a front runner. He likes to jump on all the big time teams, like in college football or basketball. But you know, he's a guy who enjoys life. So you can't hate that. I guess we kind of envy him because he can go anywhere and do anything he wants to, and gets to sit in the front row of everything.
He is in the front row. He's a front runner in the front row. There's no question about it. That guy gets good seats for everything. And you're right, Michael. He is enthusiastic. He does love being there.
Yeah, he's a big fan. He's a big Raptors fan. He was a fan of theirs a lot. Even when they were bad, he was always in the front row, sort of like a Clipper Darryl type of guy. So, you know what I mean? Hey, he's enjoying life, and you can't hate a guy for that.
Exactly. Speaking of not hating a guy, will all the Kyle Kuzma hate finally stop now? Because I felt he played his best game of the season. How would you characterize his performance, and do you think he could be consistent with that performance now?
So that's the key. That's why Laker fans get frustrated with Kyle, because he shows you glimpses of what he could be. Maybe a lesser version, slightly lesser version than Jason Tatum, that type of player. But he has to do it every night. That's what all the great six men, like guys like Lou Williams, Michael Cooper in the past, John Havlicek, all the great six men throughout history, have been consistent coming off the bench and providing that spark for their team. Kyle did it yesterday. Now can Kuz do it again tomorrow and continue to do it through the playoffs? So that's what Laker fans get frustrated with him about and want to see from him on a more consistent basis. Just that type of performance night in and night out.
Yeah, in particular too, Michael, LZ and I were talking about just the way he was playing on both sides of the ball and like really looking like a multifaceted player out there. Like he was being more than just a third scorer. He was operating like a third player.
Yeah, that's his responsibility, you know. And if he wants to get paid like a big-time player, maybe not like an all-star, but like a near all-star, he's got to keep showing Rob Pelinka and the Lakers that kind of consistency, and he'll get that nice contract he's looking for next season.
What do you think was the biggest factor towards the Laker victory?
Last night, it was that defense. Obviously, they couldn't make shots in the middle of the game. Then they picked up their defense in that fourth quarter. And when they started really harassing the Clippers on defense, it made the Clippers tougher to score. And that sort of transferred their energy into their offense. Deion Waiters came in and gave them a big lift offensively, going to the basket. And then the Lakers started making their threes. They were 4 of 22, I think, at one point in the game from three. Then in the fourth quarter, they started making them, and that turned the game around for them. So simple arithmetic, simple system, Ace, LZ, and Andy, just make your shots, and all of a sudden the game gets real simple for you.
Yeah, a lot of those threes, Michael, they were Anthony Davis, you know, down the stretch in the third quarter when they were cutting that lead. Like, this is Anthony Davis showed the way he can impact the game, like, on a lot of different fronts. This playoff is, like, a real opportunity, I think, for him to solidify. We all know he's a great player, but, like, what a great player can do when you are on a legitimate contender, because that's the next level of showing off greatness when it really matters.
Well, he's already done that in the playoffs. He carried New Orleans to the second round, and they couldn't beat the Warriors because the Warriors are that good. But he took that New Orleans team on his shoulders, basically by himself, a little help from Jrue Holiday, and beat the Blazers, swept the Blazers. So he's already proven himself in the playoffs just so far that a guy can go if he doesn't have the type of help that other superstars have. And he just didn't have the help in New Orleans to take him to that next level, to the finals. But now he obviously has that in L.A. And so him getting there, it's not going to be a shock when he does get there. And if he doesn't get there, then it will be a shock.
What did you learn about the Clippers last night? Anything?
Oh, yeah, man, they're a threat. They gave the Lakers all they could handle. Now, the Lakers weren't 100% full strength. They didn't have Rondo and Avery Bradley, two important pieces missing for them. But to play that way against a loaded Laker team without Lou Williams and Montrezl Harrell, man, that shows you how dangerous the Clippers are. And when we do see them again in the Western Finals, it's going to be a whole different ball game when those two guys are on the game.
Well, you just mentioned Rondo, and obviously it's early for us to know any of this, including like what we've seen from Deion Waiters. But Deion seems, at least for the time being, to have solidified that fourth guard spot. Do you think that there's actually room, if Rondo gets back, to try to keep both of them in the rotation with all the other guys we know are going to be there?
Yeah, I think so. You know, Frank plays 11, 12 guys. And, you know, Rondo might not play 30 minutes, but for the 18 to 20 minutes he'll be out there, you know, he's a smart guy, and he'll find a way to impact the game the way Caruso does. Doesn't put up big numbers, but they find a way to put their mark or their stamp on the game. So Rondo will come back with the understanding that he's got a really deep team, and he understands that he's not going to be there for 30 minutes. He'd want to, because that's the type of competitor he is, but he'll understand that the bottom line is winning this championship, his second ring, and he'll do whatever Frank Vogel and the basketball staff and LeBron wants him to do. So fitting in here and there, all these veterans understand that this team is so deep that they're going to have to pick their spots, and their time will come at certain times. And this is not a team that's only relying on five or six guys, but 12 to 15 guys can play in this rotation.
Mike, I want you to help me out for a second, my friend, because Andy and Raj, and I'm sure quite a few Laker fans, feel as if the team is better off without Rondo. I'm not of that belief. Having watched, I believe Rondo does a lot of good that does not show up in the stat sheet. So can you explain why you included Rondo's name in talking about players that they were missing that were important to their success?
Well, because he's a champion, and he's at 31 or 32 years of age, he still has a lot to contribute to the game, and he brings another form of leadership on the floor, a guy who's been there, done that. And so, yeah, he's still a vital part of this team, and when he's on the floor, I feel I can trust him. I feel comfortable with him being out there. He still can knock down threes. He's improved that part of his game. So I think the Lakers are going to need him against tough opponents like Milwaukee and or Toronto and, of course, the Clippers when he comes down to those final that final couple of series. So, yeah, Rondo's still needed on this team. Anybody who's dismissing him doesn't seem to understand how tough he is and how good he is.
You know, Michael.
Yeah.
Whatever. You've already you're battling this thing from behind with Drake. Kuzma and Caruso, they've never been in the playoffs before. And, you know, they're both coming off good games with this restart. Your first time in the playoffs, what was that like for you in terms of just taking in that sort of experience?
Yeah, it's a different atmosphere, that's for sure. Different intensity because everything ratchets up a few extra notches. But when you're a young player and you're surrounded by a bunch of veterans that can help keep you calm, you're going to be nervous your first time out when you get in the playoffs because you understand how important things are. Guys like LeBron and AD who have been there before, Rondo, of course, JaVale McGee, all these guys who won championships, they understand what the atmosphere is going to be like. But for the first time, guys, you can you'll be nervous about it, and you should be because that means you care about it. But you can rely on your veterans to get you through it and tell you to calm down and how to – and what to expect and how to experience it. So Caruso and Kuzma, guys like that who've never been through that experience, they'll have the some good help out there to helping them to relax and just play the game and stay focused.
Michael.
If you had to choose between Reese Witherspoon and Drake, who would you want to be on the island with? Is it Reese or is it Drake?
It's a great question. They both have their positive attributes that can help you survive or get set up on the island like a Tom Hanks in Castaway. So Drake could help me lift the heavy stuff to set up a hut or to build shelter. Reese, not to sound sexist, but I think she will basically help with help as far as which plants that we could eat and what's edible on the island because, a woman knows more about, basically knows more in the kitchen about different vegetables and seasonings and stuff like that that we can cook that would be edible. I don't think Drake would be helpful in that way. So I figure if to choose between the both of them, I think I'll go with Reese because she seems to be really nice, and I think she'll keep me from panicking and worrying about if ships are going to pass or we can signal them or something like that.
Excellent, Michael. The correct answer, even out of context, but there is an actual context, Michael, and we'd love. Do you have time for another segment, Michael?
I guess that's a no.
Yeah. I thought you were asking. I thought you were asking Raj if we had time for another one.
No. Michael, do you got time for another one? You can hang around.
Of course.
Okay. You can help weigh in on today's snake draft, and also we can talk a little bit about what happened in Orlando and what it means for the Lakers tomorrow, taking on the Raptors, getting all that coming up next. 710 ESPN.
And I'm looking at the results of the snake draft. And I don't think people are aware of the fact that I put Drake on a pup list.
No.
Just not getting out there. I'm a little concerned that this may stop me from getting a six-peat, if you will. But listeners, I understand I've made a mistake. I've corrected it. I've traded for some draft picks to be used later. Please stop punishing me for picking Drake.
Michael. Speaking of Drake and the snake draft, let you weigh in on who had a better draft between me and LZ. The category is best child actor careers, like different guys or women who began their Hollywood careers as kids, and then they ended up carving out a successful career, sometimes with child actors it goes a bad way. But these are positive examples. I'm going to give you two columns.
Positive.
Michael, you tell us which one you like better.
Okay.
Column A, Ron Howard, Janet Jackson, Regina King, Drake, then column B, Leonardo DiCaprio, Reese Witherspoon, Justin Timberlake, Michael B. Jordan.
I'll go with Ronnie Howard.
I knew you would.
You could put Ron Howard there by himself, and he still overwhelms all those other people because none of those child stars are as legendary as Opie. I mean, Opie's like the greatest child star ever. Maybe Shirley Temple comes close, but Opie's number one for any child star. And then what he's carved out in his adult life, being like one of the greatest movie directors or producers, whatever. So, yeah, Ron Howard by himself outshines that whole other list.
He was the number one overall pick for LZ. LZ had the first pick, yeah. And he chose wisely with Ron Howard. It's a great pick.
Exactly. Yeah, so, yeah, you got to give it to Opie, man. Opie Taylor, man, he's a legend.
Plus, Richie Cunningham. He went from Opie Taylor to
Richie Cunningham to
everything that he did in Hollywood as a director, as a producer. I mean, he is really prolific, really successful. I love Ron Howard.
Yeah, he's the best ever, LZ. I don't even know how you could dispute that.
Well, that's why he was my first overall pick. Apparently, people are mad because I, you know, reached for Drake with my very last pick of the draft, and they're ignoring the fact that I have Ron Howard, Janet Jackson, mind you, who started off as a child actor when she was like five or something like that.
Do you remember the show, Michael? I know you love
that. Oh, yeah, I remember that. Yeah, of course. Now, if you want to just like compare child actors, like who's the greatest child actor ever, to me, Opie would be number one, the number one seed. And you know who the number two seed would be for me for child actor, greatest child actor ever?
Who?
I would say Jodie Foster.
No.
She was great.
Who? Who? Did you say Buckwheat?
He did say Buckwheat. Buckwheat.
That's right.
You don't even know his real name.
You don't need to, man.
Buckwheat. Oh, yeah. You don't even know his real.
He's right. Okay. Good pull, Michael. Good job.
Anytime Eddie Murphy wants to impersonate you as a kid, hey, that's number two for me. Buckwheat, baby.
The man had no name. What's his real name?
What was Buckwheat's real name? Let's see. I should know that because I'm such a big fan of the Little Rascals and Stymie. I like Stymie too. Stymie was one of my favorites too. Alfalfa, you know, Froggy, yeah. All those guys.
Look this up.
Spanky was a great one too. See, you guys are like Trudell, man. You guys forget the all-time great.
Well, I mean, we were limiting this in our draft.
You forgot, too. You don't even know his name.
Yeah, we were limiting to people that we actually know their names. Like, that was
I'm going to guess Buckwheat's name was Leroy Jackson.
It was Billy Buckwheat.
William Thomas Jr.
How'd you know that, LZ?
Internet.
Because Wikipedia says so.
Oh, okay.
Billy Buckwheat.
Yeah, and apparently he's from L.A., apparently.
Hey, you know, a lot of people, some people just know him by their nickname. I mean, who knows Magic Johnson as Urban Johnson, right? It's Magic.
Do you know how old Billy Thomas was when he auditioned for Buckwheat? His first R-Gang role, he was 3 years old.
Wow.
That's crazy. Able to figure out how to audition at age three. Like, I wouldn't even know what to do.
Well, I mean, look at Michael Jackson. He probably started when he was 3 years old.
Yeah, that is true. Yeah.
I played the Michael Jackson card enough this week. I didn't want to try it again. I did it.
All right, so Michael
might have caught it with me.
This game that the Lakers had yesterday, you know, they're just getting restarted in games that actually count, and they're going up against a Clipper squad that, you know, is missing pieces, and their time in the bubble has been really disjointed. What, if anything, are your big takeaways from a setup like that?
Well, everybody's kind of rusty. Everybody's getting used to the new setup. It is what it is. No one seems to have an advantage because you're not playing in your own arena in front of your own fans. So it's kind of a neutral site and benign. And no one really has an edge when it comes to home court advantage. You just got to go out and play and try to beat the team that's in front of you. And you don't have all those little extra things to help you when your fans are there. So, but I thought the Lakers looked a little rusty yesterday. They'll get better as they get closer to the start of the playoffs. They'll be better tomorrow, I'm sure, and that was the first action that really counted in 4 months. They looked about as well as they could. The shot was a little bit off. I was surprised by that, but that's the only thing that I was surprised by, how off their shots were from the outside. But they corrected that in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, before the Laker-Clippers game, there was a game before that that also went down to the wire. The Utah Jazz versus New Orleans Pelicans. The Pelicans is a team looking to try to squeeze in and maybe face the Lakers in the first round. But they didn't play Zion. And I don't think anyone knows or anyone is assuming that they would have lost had Zion actually played a decent number of minutes. Do you like this philosophy? It seems if they're sacrificing this year to be careful with Zion when they were in situations to win games.
You know, everybody's down there in Orlando, including the Pelicans, and they are playing in the bubble. And when it comes to Zion Williamson, they've got to take off the bubble wrap.
I see what you did there. I see what you did there, Michael. Yeah.
Exactly. LZ's still trying to figure that one out.
No, I'm waiting for you to continue on with your conversation. Why do you feel they need to take your bubble wrap?
this thing with Zion, obviously, we're on the outside, obviously, literally looking in on what the Pelicans are doing. And I don't understand it, LZ. You played a game at a high level. You're an athlete. Kamenisky, you were a shutdown cornerback when you were in high school, you told me. So you were like the white Deion Sanders, you told me you were out there. So you guys understand, when you're that young and you're cleared to play, you got to play. He's, 20 years of age, and he played 15 minutes? I don't understand that. You know, this guy can go out there for 45 minutes at 20 years of age. I don't understand why they're playing for 15 minutes. I know I'm not on the medical staff, but if he's cleared to play, let him play 35 minutes.
Yeah, they were good. They were at least a good 15 minutes, man. Zion looked really good in those 15 minutes. Yeah. Michael Thompson, father knows best. Appreciate it, man. Thank you.
All right, boys.
Thank Buckwheat, you, sir.
Never forget that.
Buckwheat. Billy.
You did.
Billy Buckwheat Thomas. Who knew? None of us knew. All right, coming up next, a little crosstalk with George Sedano. But crosstalk! George Sedano, how you doing, man? You've been doing a lot of double duty. Oh, we are waiting on George. My apologies. I thought George had already joined. But he's been a busy man of late. He's been doing double duty.
Yes, he has. And I hear he's going to be on a new show starting on August 17th.
I have heard that. That's
congratulations
the word
to him.
On the streets right now. Yes, congratulations to him as well. Reunited for the first time. I call it
reunited, and let's see if it feels still if it still feels good.
There you
go. I believe is the sequel to the original song.
Yes, Peaches and Herb Dose. Yes. That's what's going on right
yes,
now.
Yes, still peachy.
They actually, when we did the one hit wonder snake draft, that was their one hit, correct? Reunited.
Don't you dare! How dare you?
Did I forget? What else did they have?
How dare you relegate Peaches and Herb to a one-hit wonder? First of all, you can't have an iconic name like Peaches and Herb and only have one hit. It's not even like it's not even allowed. You
what
understand
was it?
That? I'm looking it up. I forgot.
I only remember Reunited. If they had more than that, like I know the Captain and Tennille, for example, best remembered for Love Will Keep Us Together, but they had a couple hits. They had a couple ones.
According to this, they've had 3 top 10 hits.
Okay.
Oh, Shake Your Groove Thing. I told you about Shake Your Groove Thing.
I did not
shake
know
your groove thing. Shake Your Groove Thing.
Show us how to do it now. Okay,
exactly.
So they
got more than one hit.
My mistake, my full-throated apology to Peaches and Herb. I do not want to deny what they've done. I did not realize that Shake Your Groove Thing was them. George, did you know that Peaches and Herb sang Shake Your Groove Thing?
You know what? Off the top of my head, probably not. But it wouldn't surprise me if that were the case. Like if that's the case, then yes, that wouldn't surprise me.
Well, it is actually.
I love your political answer to the question.
I mean, I didn't know, but it does sound like
aware.
It does sound like their kind of their style of music. So yeah, I'd buy it. If you're selling it, I'm buying it.
All right.
So, how's your double duty been?
You've been a busy man.
Today I only had to do this. So double duty was fun. That show's kind of insane. You got to be head on a swivel. There's always a million things coming up. Because I've known Dan for so long, I can probably get away with things that other guest hosts and even his co-hosts and producers can't, like just screwing with them. You know what I mean? So I did this bit all week long because, Dan loves, he's a very good interviewer, right? And he asks very probing questions and whatnot. So we did a bit called Flip the Script. And then we had imaging and everything, and it basically said, now it's time to flip the script on Dan Le Batard. Here's your host, George Sedano. And then the producers would all ask him very personal questions. So, my first question was, he just got married recently, was, all right, so when are the babies coming? And he's like, really? That's where we're starting? So that was kind of the theme of what we did. We just randomly flipped the script on him throughout the week.
That's fun, man.
Did he have an answer?
He said when Valerie, his wife, wants to have babies, which is a very stock answer.
Very good answer.
But a good answer. Yes. Agreed. Yes. Yes.
How good was LeBron James in that closing minute of the game last night?
He was tremendous, LZ. And it really is, this is why he's the best player on the planet. He was having an awful game by his standards. There's no question about that, at least offensively. And in that last, I don't know, whatever it was, minute and a half, 2 minutes or whatever, not only did he hit the game winner, the first in a Laker uniform for him in under 15 seconds to go in the game. He had been 0-for-6 in that situation previously. But he hits the game-winning bucket, and on the last possession just stuffed Kawhi on a drive, forced a kick out. Then this is like crazy. The hedge on Paul George, he pushed him 10 feet away from the three-point line on the switch and then forced that insane shot that he missed. Like, it was an incredible display. And by the way, it wasn't just that last possession. Like, when he locked up on Kawhi specifically, like, he did a really good job in those instances.
Yeah, he did. I felt as if after that first drive where Kawhi kind of embarrassed him a little bit, kind of blew by him for a layup, LeBron came off a little high screen, brush screen, and got that dunk. I felt like after that moment, LeBron just locked in defensively on Kawhi and says, you won't be doing that again, young man.
Right. Yeah, and I think there's that. This, LZ, when Andy, you know it too, like it's when guys get to a certain age, even if like a guy like LeBron, who's what, if you had to guess, what has he lost? Maybe like a quarter a step, maybe like a third of a step, right? Like, I don't even know if it's a half a step yet, but he's lost a little bit of athleticism. Let's just call it a half.
A little bit.
Yeah. Let's call it a half a step.
Yep.
But you've got this kind of veteran knowledge and savvy that comes with your game when you've been in the league for 17 years and you can utilize scouting reports and video. And LeBron is a basketball savant in a lot of ways, but he's watching games all day, every day. Like, he is a league pass maniac. He's watching film a ton. So that's the type of stuff as you get older you have to do. It's those little details that allow you to still be a great defender when your number is called upon in those instances.
I mean, just those adjustments that you make when you're starting to lose that athleticism. We saw that with Kobe, in between aging and then the Achilles tear that changed everything. But Kobe was starting to lose that peak number eight athleticism, but he's so smart and so technically sound, he reinvented his post game offensively. And he reinvented himself as somebody that was as effective in the post as any big man. And he spent time with Akeem, like learning big man footwork, even though Kobe's footwork was already impeccable. It's because guys like that who want to have the longevity and they're that smart and that dedicated, they figure it out. Like, they use their brains to figure it out.
Yeah, no question about it.
Like me. Like,
right. Like, that's like LZ when he plays at Venice.
Yes. I grab and I know how to stick my leg out and force you to trip a little bit. Little techniques that you use as an old man when you're playing ball.
Yeah, exactly. There you go. You got old man game, LZ, and LeBron's got to have a little bit of it, too.
He does have old man game. Sedano Show coming up next. Be sure to tune in to the late night happy hour tonight on the station's social feeds. We've got Clinton Yates and a big announcement. See you, everyone.
Whoop, whoop.